Okay, let's get cracking. We're continuing to learn the seventh parak of Maseches Kilayim. Today we're going to be learning Parak Zayin Mishnah Hey and Parak Zayin Mishnah Vav. In the previous Mishnah, Parak Zayin Mishnah Dalet, the Mishnah discussed the halacha of whether or not a person has the ability to ask or to prohibit someone else's tvua, someone else's grain, by, let's say, growing vines on top of it. I'm growing vines on top of your grain, so do I now have the ability to make your grain prohibited because of Kilayim? The Tanakhama said, yes, I do have the ability to ask for your grain, but then I have to pay for it. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon said, no, you do not have the ability. Ein Oda Mekadish Davar Ve'ein Hashalah. A person does not have the ability to prohibit someone else's item. Says our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Ma'asa Be'echad Shezara Es Karmo B'Shviz. There was a story with one person who decided to plant in someone else's vineyard during Shavuos, during the Shemitah year. Uba Maisa Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, and this story came in front of Rabbi Akiva. The Amar and Rabbi Akiva said, Ein Adam Mekadesh Davar She'eino Shelo, that no, that you can't, you don't have the ability to make this vineyard usher, to make this vineyard kilayim, because it doesn't belong to you. And this is very much in line with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, of Rabbi Shimon, that to say, Ein Adam Mekadesh Davar She'eino Shelo, that a person doesn't have the ability to make someone else's property, to make someone else's field usher. Now in this case, why is this field not his? Maybe it is his field. So the Bartanura points out that because it's during the Shemitah year, the field doesn't belong to anyone during Shemitah. It's Hefker, or maybe everyone's a partner in it during Shemitah. So because you don't own this field during Shemitah, and it belongs to everyone, or it's Hefker, because it's not yours, you don't have the ability to make it prohibited. You don't have the ability to Aser. Now that was interesting. The Mishnah Rishona points out, one of the commentaries in the bottom of the page, he asks very simply, he doesn't understand, if everyone's a part owner in the field, then what's the problem with you making it usher? It is partially yours. You have a stake in it. You have a little bit of that ownership in you. Even during Shemitah, everyone owns it even a little bit. So the Mishnah Rishona points out two things. Number one, he says that during Shviyas, during the Shemitah year, really fields belong to Hashem. And if a field belongs to Hashem, then you don't have the ability to make it usher because it belongs to Hashem. It doesn't belong to you. Hashem simply gives us the ability to use it in a productive way and to take some of the fruits and so on. But if at the end of the day, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem, and therefore you don't have the ability to make it usher. The second answer that the Mishnah Roshona gives is that shutfus, that partnership, isn't really true when it comes to Shemitah. Partnership usually means that I own a little bit of a percentage of the field, and therefore if I sell it, I get some money from it, and so on. But this, when it comes to Shemitah, I don't really have a stake in it exactly. It's not shutfus, it's not the typical example of partnership, because I don't really own it at all. Okay, so that's Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey. Now we're moving on to Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. Says the Mishnah, Ha'anas shezara es hakerem v'yotze milafana. The robbers come, if bandits come, and they basically steal your field, and they start planting in the field. They start planting other types of crops in that field. V'yotze milafana. But then what happens? But then Baruch Hashem, you get the field back, and now you own it once again. So what do? You have kilayim, these bandits, these robbers planted kilayim in the field. What do? Says the Mishnah, kotzro afilu b'moed, you should harvest it, you should cut out and get rid of the kilayim, afilu b'moed, even if it is on chol hamoed, even though normally you don't have the ability, you generally speaking, shouldn't be doing any malachos that aren't a davar ha'aved, that aren't things that you might lose, right? If you're going to lose money, then you could do a malacha on chol hamoed. Otherwise, you should try not to. But in this case, it's not a davar aved. You're not going to lose anything because, like we keep saying, ein adam mekadesh davar she'eino shlo. You're not going to lose anything because a person doesn't have the right or ability to make something usher, to make something prohibited that doesn't belong to him. So this isn't really a davar ha'avit, but the Bartanura says that this is a case of marisai, and that it's going to look like you're being mekayim. It's going to look like you're maintaining kilayim in your field, which is certainly problematic. So that would not work. And he says, therefore, you should cut the field and harvest the field, get rid of the kilayim on chol hamoed. Ad kama hu nosin lepoim, how much extra must you pay the workers that are working on chol hamoed? They get overtime. You pay them extra, says the Mishnah. Ad shalish, until a third. So what does that mean, until a third? So the Bartanura gives two explanations. Explanation number one is that either it's a third more, whatever you would pay them. Let's say you would pay them $100 to do it. So now you're going to pay them $133. You're going to pay them a third extra than the salary that you would normally pay them. The other explanation is that you'd pay them a third of the value of all of the crops. Either way, atshlish is how much you should pay them to cut your field, to get rid of the kilayim on Chol HaMoed. However, says the Mishnah, Yasser Mikan, if they would demand more, if you'd have to pay them more than a shlish, Kotzer Kedarka V'Holech, just cut it in a regular way, in a normal way, Afilu La'achar HaMoed, even after the Moed, even after Chol HaMoed, then you can go and you can cut the field. Maris Ayin, okay, it might be a little bit of a Maris Ayin concern during the Yontif. It may seem like you're maintaining kilayim during the Yontif, but certainly after the Yontif, you can get rid of the kilayim, and that is not a problem. And again, like we said many times until now, the reason why the crops that you already have there don't have to be destroyed is because you didn't intend for this to happen. You didn't want the kilayim to grow. It simply happened on its own. And therefore, as long as you uproot it, get rid of it, destroy it, you are fine. Finishes off the Mishnah, Mi Emosaihu Nikra Anas. From when is it considered to be a situation where the gazlan, this person who stole the land, now is considered to be the owner? Now not in the sense that he actually owns it, because ultimately he still has to pay back for the field. But at what point, asks the Mishnah, must this gazlan, must this robber still pay back for what he stole, that he has the potential to prohibit the crops that grow? Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Yishka, from the moment that people start to forget who was the original owner of this field, who originally owned this field, from the moment that people start to forget who originally owned this field, at that point, this gazlan does have the ability to asser the crops, to asser the produce that are growing there. Quick review. Perek Zayin Mishnehe told us a story quoted by Rabbi Yossi of a situation where a person started planting kelaim in a field during the Shemitah year, and Rabbi Kiva ultimately passed, and that this isn't the situation of kelaim, because at the end of the day, ein adam mekadesh davar she'eino shelo, because at the end of the day, a person doesn't have the ability to prohibit a field, to prohibit property that he doesn't own. And then Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav discuss the case of a situation where a person steals a vineyard and ultimately plants kilayim in there, but then the original owner ultimately gets the field back. So the halacha is that you should try to get rid of this kilayim as soon as possible. Again, it's a gazlan, a robber did it, so you're not obligated, and he didn't prohibit any of your crops, he didn't damage you in any way, but at the end of the day, you should try to get rid of it as soon as possible. Afilu b'moed, even on the yontif itself, you should try to get rid of it. Even on a chol hamoed itself, you should try to get rid of it. How much should you pay the workers on chol hamoed? Until a third. But if the Mishnah said that the workers are going to demand more than a third, then just wait until after yontif, and you can have them get rid of it then. And then the Mishnah is concluded by saying, then at what point do we consider the field to belong, in a sense, to the gazlan, to the robber? Again, only in the sense that now he has the ability to prohibit, to asser the fruits and the crops that grow there. Misha Yishka, says the Mishnah, from the moment that people start to forget who the original owner of the field was. At that point, the gazlan can, then if he plants kilayim, he'll then prohibit, he'll asser the crops that are growing there. Have a great day.